This morning, we're concluding our series, The Journey Home. And there's a feeling when you start getting close to the destination after many hours on a long journey. If you've been on a road trip before, you know that feeling. Home is, it may still be an hour away, but you're starting to see the signs that you're getting close. The exits on the interstate are names that you're familiar with. You see maybe the skyline or the mountains or whatever that symbol is way off in the distance. And you're just filled with this hope. Like, I'm so close. I am almost there. Michelle and I love vacationing in Colorado. And we always go to the same place when we go there. And after driving through Nebraska for 8 hours, when you start to see the mountains, and this is like my favorite picture. I took it myself one day. But when you start to see the mountains in the distance, just through the haze, you know you're well over 100 miles away. You might still have a two-hour drive, but there's like a little skip in your heart, like we're almost to our favorite place. We cannot wait to get there. And that's a little bit what our journey to be with our Heavenly Father should feel like. As we've been going through this series for the past 4 weeks, we started this series by asking an honest question. What actually happened to the human race? And where are we now? And we defined how we started out by going the wrong way against God's holy nature through our own choice, but also we were born into that sinful nature. We lived then under the weight of that wrongdoing, so it's alienation and separation and condemnation from God. But hopefully, God's given us the opportunity by His grace to make the U-turn of repentance, to choose a different way, to say, I want to follow Jesus, to turn yourself around, and then to live the long road, that long highway drive, the rest of your life, of trying to stay on the straight and narrow as you live a life that brings you home to God forever. And today is all about what's waiting at the end of the road. This is going to be the best week of the series. Everything that we've been honest about and the painful truth that we still struggle with sin, but we need to be fighting it. We can't just give up and say, oh, it's no big deal. God will take care of it. Like, it needs to be our daily struggle. But there comes a day in the future when you will no longer struggle with temptation. You will no longer struggle with sin. You will no longer end up in a conversation where a thought hits your head and you know you shouldn't say it, and you say it anyway because it's going to feel so good, and instantly you go, why did I do that? Those moments will be over. And we have to, though, understand the difficulty of the journey we live, because otherwise the destination has no, it doesn't make sense. Like, we don't understand the magnitude and the awesomeness of the destination unless we also understand the journey that it takes to get there. So before we get to our final point today, let's understand that this road God wants all of us traveling on towards Him is not one that everybody is taking. This, our country is widely considered Christian. Like, 2/3 to 3/4 of people say, yes, I am a Christian. I believe in Jesus. But Jesus tells us in His Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I don't necessarily believe that every American who says they believe in Jesus is on the narrow, hard road. I think that they have the knowledge of the stories of the Bible, and Jesus died on a cross and He raised a new life. But the narrow road is a road that says, I trust my life with Jesus. It's not just knowledge about him. It's not just information. It's not just going to church on occasion and maybe volunteering. It's literally walking with him day by day. We know this because a few verses later in that Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says these words that should really make everybody pause and evaluate your own knowledge and relationship of Jesus. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Can you imagine how awful it would be to live your life thinking that you were on the narrow road only to find out that you weren't? And what we have to understand here is that this passage is not about whether these people are good enough. Notice that what these people are claiming is not that they are decent people or moral citizens, but that they did religious things, actually impressive things, church things. They prophesied. They cast out demons. They performed miracles all in his name. But Jesus' response is, "I never knew you." It's all about the relationship. It's not about the knowledge. The narrow road is not about knowing a lot about Jesus. And it's not about just doing what God makes you do. God gives us free choice to love him, because you can't have love without free choice. And then with that, we have to choose reciprocation of God's love. Like, we know the whole scope of the Bible says God loves you so much that he gave his one and only son for you. But now you have a choice. Are you going to return that love? Are you going to step into a relationship? In a relationship, you listen, you talk, you pray, you respond, you do what that you know that person wants you to do. You don't just say, "I know a lot about my wife. I sure know a lot about her, and I'm going to do everything my own way." No, in relationship, I know about her, so I respond and I live differently as a result. That's what relationship looks like. Jesus is saying, look, the road is going to be narrower than what people think, and it's not going to be based on knowledge. It's going to be based on relationship. It's not about what you did. It's not about volunteering in the nursery or giving money to the church. It's, "I never knew you." I was pre-preaching this message during the worship because today's all about, I want every person in this room to walk out of here saying, "Ryan, I hear you loud and clear, and I have a personal relationship with Jesus." It's a living, breathing, back and forth relationship, because that is how you know that you're on the road that leads to life, that you're on the right road, the narrow road, the one that's taking you ultimately home. This isn't meant to terrorize you. This isn't meant to make you fearful. It's meant to just simply allow you to say, you know what? I want to make sure I evaluate things clearly and I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. Just because your parents took you to church your whole life and you went to VBS and you're here this morning does not make a person in relationship with Jesus. You have to make a choice, an intentional choice. You have to ask yourself honestly, do I know Jesus or do I only know about him? Is there an actual relationship where you truly surrender to him? You speak to him, you listen to him, and you trust him with your whole life. If you're not sure, talk to me after this service. I'd love to talk with you about it. And so, that uncertainty, though, it's not meant to be condemnation. It is meant to be an invitation, okay? So please hear it that way. Don't hear me as the angry preacher saying you're going to hell. I'm the preacher who's saying, you know what? The gate is still open. And Jesus is saying, come, get on the right road. So once you're on the narrow road, once your relationship is shored up and you know it's real, here is the complete picture to understand what God has been doing in your life from birth until the day that you see Jesus face to face. There's some theological terms maybe you've heard. I'm going to unpack them for you. It kind of brings this whole series together of how the whole doctrine of humanity works, okay? So the starting point for every person is condemnation. We've talked about this. We are born with a sinful nature. We are born under God's condemnation. John chapter 3, 18 and 19. We love 3:16, and don't worry, that's coming next, but we're jumping ahead to 18:19. Jesus actually says there, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. That's the starting point, condemnation. Doing good, having like a all roads lead to God mentality, love is love mentality, that doesn't get you there. Jesus continues, he says, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. That's Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. This is the verdict. Light, Jesus, has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Our default state when we are born is condemnation. Jesus makes it very, very clear. A general view of God is not good enough. You must believe in the Son of God and what he has done, and you have to be willing to follow it. That's the second point. So we start at condemnation, we move through salvation. Salvation is a single moment. It's the moment when you go from dead to alive. Every person, that's not a journey, that's not a slow process. I mean, it's a journey to maybe get there, but at some point, you went from no Holy Spirit inside of you and spiritually dead to boom, the Holy Spirit is in me, I'm alive, I'm regenerated, I have salvation in God. Something spiritually changes. That occurs when you make the U-turn, when you repent. Jesus in Mark 1, if you remember back to the very first message, his first imperative ever written down in the Gospels was repent and believe. Repent means turn around, follow me, and believe the words I'm telling you. Believe this gospel message. Believe I'm the Son of God, that my death on the cross is for your sins. Believe that whole good news, but more than just the belief in your mind. You need to also follow him. You need to repent. You need to strive to live the life that God wants for you. John 3:16 is the best passage of what salvation looks like. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So many people don't read verse 17. God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but to save the world. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ, period. Okay? We need the world to know about Jesus Christ. That's God's plan. That's the moment of being saved, salvation, having the Holy Spirit inside of you. When it happens, you're changed forever. It's awesome. But you still struggle with sin. That's the bad news. You receive Jesus, but the rest of your life is still a slog. You've been transformed, you're made new, you have the Holy Spirit, but oftentimes, sometimes there's miraculous healings and addicts are no longer addicts. People who struggle with gossip no longer struggle with gossip. People who struggle with anger instantly have peace. More often, your struggles with sin are still holding on to you. But now you have a long road, a long journey for the Holy Spirit to be working on you, to be chiseling off the rough edges, to be shaping you to look more like Jesus Christ. In this life, you may never get there. But This process is called sanctification. It's the third step in this process, this journey home. So salvation is not a finish line, it's a starting line. Sanctification is essentially the journey that we're on. All of us who have been baptized and received Jesus and trust Jesus, we've been saved. We are now on this journey of sanctification where the Holy Spirit is empowering us to walk the way that God wants us to walk, to live the way God wants us to live, to make the hard decisions sometimes, to live counterculturally, to say, you know what, I'm not going to have sex before marriage. Or if I am, I'm going to make this right and we're going to get married. And to say, I'm not going to get drunk with my buddies. I'm not going to speak like that to other people and to be dismissive of people I don't agree with. I'm not going to, you name it, you know your sins. Hopefully you do. If you don't, you should be asking, God, what do you want to be changing in my life? Okay, it's not my job to tell you all your individual sins. But sanctification is the process of hearing those things and saying, okay, I'm willing to change because I know that that's what God wants for me. I know that that's, I believe and I trust that's what God is saying is best for me and for my life. It's easy to hear God tell you that you're loved. We all want to hear that. But we also have to be willing to hear when God says, you're in the wrong here and I want you to change. And to be willing to hear it and willing to respond. That's sanctification. That's hard work, but that's part of the process. And all of us should be walking through that process every single day. Philippians 1:6, so I can throw a verse on sanctification. This is the good news, okay? He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's a promise. He started it. He's the one who lit the flame inside of you of salvation. He's going to see you through to the end. Hebrews says that God is the author and perfecter of your faith. That's good news. It's not all up to you to get it perfect. It is up to you to listen and work in tandem with the power of the Spirit. Okay, and that brings us to the final point, what today is all about. And that is what is known as glorification. Glorification is when we finally and totally receive the full glory of being united with Jesus forever. When our earthly bodies are done and we receive our new heavenly perfect bodies. When we receive a mind that is no longer tainted in any way by a sinful nature, but that we simply think fully in terms of love and grace, patience and kindness. That is a day I can't wait for. It's not just that there's no more death and no more disease and sickness, but there's no more some of me and my sinfulness getting in my own way. Maybe you've had that thought, like, I know what I want to do, but why do I keep struggling with this sin? And God's saying, keep struggling, that's sanctification, but there's going to come a day when you receive the full glory, and you're never going to have to wrestle with that again. It's going to be absolutely incredible. 1 John chapter 3:2 says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Glorification is when something actually transforms in our physical bodies as well, and we become like Jesus. The moment occurs as 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and 52 describes. Paul writes, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. There is going to be a moment where all the dead in Christ will be raised. Those who are living will instantly be transformed. The world will be over, and we will be with Jesus forever. That's when the glory of the Lord will shine brightest. In that moment, That is glorification. That's what's waiting at the end of the narrow road for every single one of us. It's the destination for those of us who are on life's journey to God. But here's the thing about glorification that many people miss or we want to skip over. We hear about the glory and we're like, I just want to get there. But our lives are hard. They're messy, and there's no guarantee if you're following Jesus that it's going to be easy. You are going to be tempted to give up. There will be moments where God feels distant, where your prayers feel like they're going unanswered, where you'll feel like you're in the dark. It happens to everybody at some point. It doesn't mean that you're on the wrong road. It means you just got to hold on tight and trust that you're going to see the light at the end of the tunnel. You have to cling to the hope that you know today that's going to carry you through the dark time. Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 18, he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. He's not writing to people who are dead. So often when we talk about glorification in the church, I'm having this conversation at a funeral. Like my funeral message is about when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. We sing that at funerals, okay? We don't sing it at church that often. We think about this concept of what's coming at funerals when the day has arrived. But we have to understand this concept of glorification is what should carry you through the hard times. When Paul writes this, he's saying, look, I know you guys, Romans, are going through some really tough things right now. But you got to keep in mind the destination. Keep in mind where this thing is all going to get you to. And when you realize it, you're going to realize it's incomparable. The trials of your life today are nothing compared to the destination. And so that's why this idea of what lies ahead is so important for us as Christians. Because sometimes it's the only thing, the hope of glory is the only thing that's going to carry you through the hardest parts of your life. And you, if you haven't gone through hard stuff, you will. And many of you have. And you can nod your head and go, yeah, I know. And my clinging to Jesus is the only thing that got me through. My hope that there is going to be an end that is far better than anything that this life can guarantee me. And so the hope of glory isn't just for your last days on this earth. It's for all of life as it carries you through the hard times. Not trying to dismiss pain, but I am trying to say we've got to put it in perspective and recognize, yeah, pain is very real on this earth, but I don't think our brains can even grasp what the glory of being in God's presence for eternity is going to be like. So we hold on tightly. Every mile of this series has been pointing towards this idea of coming home. This series that started out all about sin and God's wrath and condemnation, it was all built and culminated ultimately to this important destination. We can't understand what it means to be human without first understanding our struggle, but then also understanding our hope. And by Jesus Christ, we know that we can attain something beautiful that lies ahead. Yes, it's through a narrow road, through the narrow gate. It's countercultural. It's not the way the world is going. Jesus is asking you to make some decisions that are hard that you don't really want to do. But Jesus is saying, I know what's best for you. Just do what I'm telling you to do. But if you're willing to do that, then you're on this road that leads to God. And one day the struggle will be over. Everything that salvation and sanctification was leading you to is ultimately going to be complete. You will be fully restored. The way God made Adam and Eve for perfect relationship, perfect union with Him in the garden in Genesis 1 and 2, that will all be made real for every one of us again. the way that sin has marred us will be completely cleaned up. The journey will be finished. And it won't be because you finally did enough. It will never be because you finally cleaned yourself up enough. God is not waiting for you to get rid of all your sin perfectly and then say, come home. He's saying, just walk the road with me. Some of you are further along the road. Some of you have dealt with more sin. Some of you are further behind. God doesn't care. He just wants you on the road, facing him, walking step by step. When you fall down, getting yourself up, because you know that at the end of that journey, there's a heavenly father, like in the parable of the prodigal son, who's going to see his son coming down the road, and he's going to say, this is incredible, and he's going to run down the road, throw his arms around you, and say, welcome home. The sign we've got, all the road signs up to this point had been road signs. This is the type of sign you see in a living room, right? When you get home, maybe some of you visiting your parents, I know when I go home, there's just a feeling like, this is where I belong. This is my old stomping grounds. This is what feels comfortable. When you get to heaven, it's going to feel like home. Like that's where you belong. God made you to be in full relationship with him. That's why he made humanity. When you get there, it's not going to be like the first day at college where you're like, I don't know anybody. I don't know where anything is. This is awkward and weird, and I don't know if I like it. It's going to be a feeling of coming home and just being like, finally, this is what this whole journey was all about. And I can't believe it. The sunsets are beautiful. The streets are clean. The grass is a shade of green that I've never seen in my life. Like, it's going to be incredible, and you're going to feel like you belong. If you have a relationship, you do belong. That welcome home, that's a relational sign. It's a relational feeling, and it's a home is a relational destination. It's not like heaven, this spot I'm aiming for. It's home. You can't get home unless you know the owner of the house. You're part of the family of God. And so I encourage you, every one of you, if you haven't made the U-turn, if you haven't repented, you haven't decided, I'm ready to follow Jesus and I'm ready to walk this road. Choose that road today. Talk to me about it. I'd love to come in and support you and help you walk the road towards Jesus. This is what everything we do when we come together, this is what it's all about. Knowing Jesus and living lives that honor him, that he has told us this is the better way. Because one day, all of us are going to breathe our last. And in that moment, I hope that your next waking moment is at the narrow pearly gate with Jesus Christ, your brother, saying, welcome home. Come on in. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray?